us pray. O Lord, this is the day that you have made. Therefore, we rejoice. We are glad in it. Open our eyes to your presence. Open our hearts to your sovereign reign. And open our hands for your service, all to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Spirit is calling.
We will listen and learn.
The heavens are shining.
We will sing and rejoice.
The Spirit is moving.
We will live the promises of God.
Lift up your hearts and your voices unto the Lord. The opening hymn of praise, 117, O God, our help in ages past. Now take this opportunity, welcome your neighbors through the passing of the peace. At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. children, I got something for you to look at here, something that I learned this week that I'd never heard of. The scripture today is the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this comes from the book of Nehemiah, and it's written after Nehemiah and Ezra returned to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. It's a joyous occasion, and it is from the scripture this morning, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, when we think of joy, sometimes we think of clowns. Have any of you ever seen a clown? You ever notice their faces? Let me show you one. Let me show you one right here. You ready? Can everybody see this? Can y'all see this? Boys, can you see the clown face? Can you see? Can y'all see the clown face? Now, there's something. Of course, Red Skelton was a great. Remember Red Skelton? Wonderful clown, Shelly. He was one of my favorites. But now, I learned something, Shelly, that I'd never heard before. This might not be a revelation to you, but it sure is to old Greg here. I found out that a professional clown face is distinctive. That is to say, every clown face is totally their own. It's unique. There's only one clown face like that particular clown, like I mentioned Red Skelton. Do you know what they do? I guess through history, when a clown like Red Skelton adopted their particular clown face, what they then did, they took an eggshell and they sketched. Of course, Red Skelton was a great artist, a wonderful artist. And they would sketch their particular clown face that was theirs, and they would send it off to a special, like a patent office is what it was like, Brad. And they kept the record of that clown face so that no other clown could wear their individual clown face. Isn't that something? Each one was different. Each one was unique. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about clown faces, but the Bible certainly does tell us that each of us are special in the eyes of God, your Creator. In fact, someone once said that God loves each one of us as if God has only one of us to love. You are all special in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord rejoices over you, His creation. He knows you by name. He made you. And His love for you is a love that's never going to leave you. Now that's a joy. Admit that's the joy of the Lord, is that the Lord loves you with a love that's never going to let you down. Never, ever. Let's turn to the Lord. And let us have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do give you rich thanks, O Lord, that you love each one of us. You know us all by name. You made each one of us. We're special. All of us are special in your eyes. And for all of us, for each one of us, you gave your life upon that cross of Calvary, that we may know life, abundant life, and everlasting life. Thank you for this love, therefore, that will never fail us, the love of Jesus. And help us to share that love of Jesus and put a smile on the face of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let me double check. I got to make sure that we got the... Oh my goodness. Hey, I'm looking back here to my buddy, my soul brother back here, Roger. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. We have abundance here. Abundance. Look at here. Go ahead and take two suckers. Yes, sir. Thanks to Roger, Deb. Thank you. Go ahead and take you two. Yeah, go ahead and take two today. Pick out the two you like, and then you know the drill. You keep one, and you share one with somebody. Do you want one? Do you want two? All righty. Here we go. Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Yeah. You're serving up here. All righty. And here. Whoop. There we go. All right. What do you think, Chloe? Pretty good, huh? They look pretty good, don't you? Yeah, they do. Yeah, I love them myself. Yes, sir. Take you two. Yeah. Do you like those? Do you like those? Yeah, sure. There you go, Dreamer. And your little sister, is it Michaela? Mahala?
That's Mahaley.
Mahaley, you want to carry the mic today? If Big Sister goes with you? How about it? You sisters help out? How about it? Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. You okay, baby? Can you find another one that you like? There you go. Yeah. Yeah, take two you like there. Yeah. Yeah, you get the two you like. All right, you're picking out some winners, aren't you? You're looking them over, aren't you? Yeah. All right, and there you go, Derek. Yes, sir, young man. All right, well, you all may return to your pews, and Drema and Mahaley. Yeah. Mahaley's going to, boy, Mahaley, is this the first time you've carried the mic? Well, how about that? Well, Big Sister's going to help you, so see, you're not alone. You're not alone. Big Sister's going to be right with you. How about this team? Isn't this a great-looking team? Sisters, now, if you're a visitor today, we welcome you. We want to also further extend that welcome. There's a visitor's card in each of the pews. If you want to take that card, fill it out, put your telephone number on there. When the ushers take up the morning offering here in a little while, just drop that card into the offering plate. And then the ushers collect those. They get the cards to me. I get a call out to you, and we just want to get you better acquainted here. So now, this portion of the service is called the Joys and Concerns. We've got a great team here, Drema and Mahaley, her little sister. They're going to carry the mic to you. If you have a joy, and it could be a birthday, wedding anniversary, it could be a testimony of praise of how the Lord has given you strength, you want to lift that up, just raise your hand. Could be a concern. Maybe there's someone who's sick. You want to lift them up in prayer. Joys or concerns, just raise your hands. And this fine team is going to bring you the mic. Just raise your hands. Joys or concerns. Keep them up for them.
I've been getting some text messages from Jasmine Coleman's mom down, and she's back in Cincinnati Hospital. And she's got some lung problems and stuff right now, coughing up blood and everything. And I'd just like to, for the church to pray for her. I've been praying for the last 2 weeks, and she's got some other tests coming up tomorrow, pulmonary tests and things, and she's going to let me know then, how they've come out. So, that poor girl's went through a lot. And Lord, you've been blessing me here lately. He's been giving me a lot of time with the Word and everything. And like I said, I'm sorry I couldn't go Tuesday, but things come up, And I've really been looking forward to going back out calling again. So maybe next month.
I got a great calling team, wonderful team members. Dave and Phil Sanfilippo couldn't make it this morning, but Phil's another one of our calling team members. Just a wonderful team. So, Brother Dave, thank you.
So, thank you for everything, and we love y'all.
God bless you, Dave. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And I see a hand back here.
Ethan turned 6 on Wednesday.
Ethan turned 6. Now, how about that? How about that? Precious. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's a celebration. There's a joy right there. Any other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns? Just keep your hands up. We've got a great calling team here.
I just wanted to thank everybody for coming to our little party. It was really a real surprise to have so many nice people come. And I want to thank everybody for all the cards, too. They were wonderful. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Bob and Marilyn. God bless you. Any other joys or concerns? Yes, sir, Brother John.
Yeah, Allie had been struggling a little bit in math, and she wrote a great card on how it had all A's and B's, so she's understanding a lot better, working hard to keep it there. So.
Raise that cheer. Praise it's A's and B's. My goodness. Well, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. That's a great joy. Yes, Susie?
First of all, I'm glad to have the whole family here. And tomorrow is Lily's birthday.
And tomorrow's Lily's birthday. Raise a cheer. Raise a cheer. Thank you, Susie. And it is indeed great to see Terry and the family here. Any other joys or concerns? Well, can we show appreciation for Drema, Big Sister, and Little Sister Mahaley? Now, you did good. You did good, didn't you? Well, you walk, sure you can. Come on over. Here, let's get you one of them. Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, God bless you, Mahalie. God bless you. Let us turn to the Lord. I just love them. I love children. Let us turn to the Lord in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Mahalie, who took on this ministry this morning. And Lord, it can be really scary to do these things. But you know something, Lord, we got a witness today already that her big sister was with her. And that encouraged her. That gave her strength. That arm in arm, hand in hand, they could do this together. And Lord, that is the witness that we find today in Nehemiah and Ezra as they took on this task that had to be very, very frightening to rebuild your temple. My goodness, the enemy was constantly a threat to them. They were always watching. And yet, with your help, arm in arm, hand in hand, oh Lord, with you, they were able to do the impossible. Against all odds, the temple was rebuilt and the people wept for joy, oh Lord. So, Heavenly Father, now, remind us of your presence with us, your love, oh Lord, that Jesus has revealed, which is a love that's never going to let us go. And strengthen us and encourage us and deepen our faith as now from our hearts, we lift the prayer that Jesus the Savior has invited us all to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're about to hear a reading about the importance of the Word of God. And so in preparation for this message from Nehemiah, from the book of Nehemiah, let's stand together for 599, this hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. You may be seated. And now we continue through this season of Epiphany, the season of revelation and light, a reading from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. And all the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. And they told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the Watergate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. May God add the blessing of the Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Linda. And thank you, choir. I want to lift up from the reading this morning from Nehemiah, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." I came across a story since last week. I should have used this last week, but it illustrates, again, this joy of the Lord. And again, this was about a wedding. As I said, I sure could have used it last week, but it was Reverend Craig Barnes told about a particular wedding in which anything that could go wrong did go wrong. Now, we've had pretty smooth sailing. Of course, I've got Linda Holden right here, my right arm. You know, when things get a little rough, I always lean on Linda at weddings. But Linda, this must have been some occasion. As I said, anything that go wrong did go wrong. You know, we're kind of watching the weather reports even today to see whether that freezing rain is going to come through. Well, there was a storm came through on the very day of the wedding. And a lot of the streets in the village were closed. Main Street was closed. Hence, a good many of the out-of-town guests never made it to the wedding. It turns out that on this occasion, not even half of the candles in the candelabra would light. The flowers for the wedding didn't arrive on time. And so one of the sisters of the church ran and got last week's, you know, altar flowers and put them on, good-naturedly put them on the altar. The couple were glad to get them, even though they were kind of brown around the edges and quite visibly they were dying. Flowers did arrive, by the way. Oh, yeah. 15 minutes after the conclusion of the ceremony, to the shock of the bride and the groom and all the guests, here came the florist right down the center aisle, and he arranged these beautiful flowers 15 minutes after the conclusion of the ceremony. Well, in the ceremony, Reverend Barnes tried to allude to the fact that he was trying to help him out and make light of the situation. He said, you know, actually it's kind of appropriate to have an imperfect wedding, because he says, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. And he tried to employ all of his wisdom to soften the disappointments. But he says, admittedly, he could see the anger in the face of the bride and the groom. It was there, Ted. Now, here's the point of his witness. When at last, however, the couple turned to face each other to exchange the vows, suddenly, everything changed. The eyes of the groom watered up with tears of joy, as for the first time now, in a day of mishap after mishap, he now truly sees his beautiful bride, and all the frustrations of the hour melted away. And when his beloved, when his wife-to-be saw his tears of joy for her Glenn, then she started to weep tears of joy. And then I can appreciate this. Reverend Barnes says, and when I saw the tears of joy, the love before the altar, he says, then I too wept tears. Tears of joy. Now that's not unlike what is taking place in this witness of Nehemiah. That this is an occasion of joy in which, again, the children of Israel are renewing their vows, if you will, before the altar of the Lord. The temple had been destroyed in 586 B.C. under the Persians and the rule of the Persians, and thousands of children of Israel were then deported. They were taken away into the Babylonian exile. One generation passed in Babylon, and then another generation passed. And so now we have the children, we have the grandchildren. Nehemiah had only always lived in Babylon. He became the cupbearer for the king of Babylon. Thus, the king of Persia honored him. And so Nehemiah, though he had only known Babylon, his heart was still longing for Jerusalem, and his heart still belonged to the Lord God, certainly. And he felt that the Lord was ordaining him to go back to rebuild the holy temple, the holy altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. And so the king of Persia granted that request, and when they got back, talk about dire circumstances, talk about tough. Only half of the men could work at one time. Why? Because the other half had had to constantly keep guard against constant threat from the enemy. Now, as for the other half that were able to work, read your scriptures. Read the first seven chapters of Nehemiah. For what it records is, for the other half that were able to rebuild the temple, it is written, they kept a spear in one hand constantly, and they kept, Kevin, they kept a masonry tool in the other hand. And they rebuilt that temple with a weapon in one hand, the masonry tool in the other. They rebuilt the temple in a record 52 days. Impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. A weapon in one hand, masonry tool in the other, 52 days. Now actually, it kind of reminds me of that old story that you all remember. All these villages had this annual firefighters contest. And there was a village, somewhat like Convoy, sent their team and their fire truck. And they had, of course, the Laura's brother-in-law is a firefighter, and they're part of these all the time. Her brother is part of this. And they'll even build a fire. Sometimes they'll find an old building, and you know they'll torch that. And then the firefighters will come for the contest to prove their skills. And then there's a prize. In this case, prize money was going to be awarded. Well, as I said, a village kind of like our village, Convoy, comes in, and the fire truck plows into the burning building. This is incredible. Plows into the burning building, and the firemen leap out, and again, in record time, Bob, the fire is out. Well, the judges said, in all our years of having this contest, we have never seen anything of such determination and such skill. To plow into the building of flames with that truck and to put that fire out the way you did. Fellas, this was incredible. Incredible. So what will you do with the prize money? And the fire chief said, well, the first thing we're going to do is repair the brakes on the fire truck. It's an old apocryphal tale. You know it well. You know it well. Thanks for indulging me. That is an apocryphal tale. This account is in no way an apocryphal tale. This actually happened. With a weapon in one hand and with a masonry tool in the other, they rebuilt that temple in 52 days. And joy filled their hearts continually. Against all odds, in the most dire of circumstances, how could they do this? Because they knew that God was with them, that God had ordained this ministry. God had created them and raised them up to be a people to fulfill his purpose. And so therefore, with the awareness that God was with them, they could do the impossible. And against all dire circumstances, in the midst of it all, they kept an attitude of gratitude. For the joy of the Lord was truly their strength. An attitude of gratitude. Attitude can make a big difference. I saw the two coaches talking with each other this morning. This is a joy to see the two coaches talking. Attitude, huh, coaches? Attitude. Attitude. Reverend James Moore tells a story. A particular woman who went to see her doctor with a whole list of complaints. The doctor could find no physical ailment. And he began to suspect that it was this woman's negative outlook on life that was the real problem. So the doctor got up from his desk and he pointed to a shelf lined with bottles. And he said to the woman, "Do you see these bottles? All of them are empty. Now I can take one of these empty bottles and I can fill it with poison, enough poison to kill a human being." Or he said, "I can take that same bottle and fill it with medicine, enough medicine, Allison, to cure a headache, to bring down a fever, to kill bacteria." But he said to her, "The important thing is I am making the choice. I can choose to fill each bottle with hurtful things or with helpful things." And then he looked the woman straight in the eyes, Keith, and he said to her, "Each day that the Lord gifts us with, each day that God gives us is like one of those empty bottles. We can choose to fill it with negative thoughts, or we can choose it with positive thoughts that lift us and lift others and those around us. But he says, Madam, the choice is ours. The ability to choose the attitude with which we will confront life can make all the difference in the world. I have a most profound example of this power at work. It's a true story, there again. It's a story of a French poet by the name of Robert Desnos. And during World War II, Robert Desnos, this French poet, was part of the French Resistance Network. And because he was an active member of the resistance, and because his faith compelled him to renounce communism, the Nazis captured him and they deported him to a Nazi concentration camp. One afternoon, Robert Desnos and some other prisoners there, POWs, were taken away from the barracks of this camp. Leaving the barracks, the mood among Desnos and the other prisoners was very somber. All these prisoners were loaded onto the back of a flatbed truck, and all the prisoners knew where the truck was headed. As you can guess, you know where it was headed to. It was headed for the gas chambers. And when at last that truck arrived, no one was able to speak even a word. Even the guards fell silent. Suddenly, Robert Desnos broke the silence. Energetically, he jumped into a line of condemned prisoners. He grabbed the hand of a woman in front of him, and he began to read her palm, good-naturedly, lovingly. He says, oh! He shouts, oh! In front of the guards, oh! I see you have a long lifeline. Madam, did you know you're going to have 3 children? He was exuberant. And here's the thing. His excitement became contagious. Another POW moves over, puts out his hand, and Robert reads his hand. And again, the same prediction. One of longevity, one of happiness, one of success. Well, it was like an explosion of joy. One after another, here come the prisoners. They start offering up their palms to be read. And always Robert Desnos gives the prediction, long life, more children, and abundant joy. Now, as he read these palms, not only did the mood of the POWs change, but history records a witness. The guards became visibly disoriented. They became so disoriented, it's recorded, by the change of mood among the people they were to kill, they became so disoriented by this explosion of joy, they could not go through with the executions. They loaded Robert Desnos, they loaded his fellow prisoners of the concentration camp, the condemned, they loaded them back onto the flatbed truck. The Nazi guards loaded them back onto the bed of the flatbed truck. They drove them back to the concentration camp, and not a one of them was executed. God is a God of miracles. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, sadly, Robert finally died, but not at the hands of the Nazis. In fact, he died weeks after the concentration camp was liberated. Yes, he died of typhoid. And yes, there's no minimizing the rigors, the punishment of the concentration camp, how Allison that had to have brought down his health and inclined him to typhoid. Yes, but the point remains, he never died at the hands of the Nazis. So how was he able to live so long? How was he able not only to spare his life, but to bring life to those around him? Because again, his attitude, his determination, as history gives witness, bottom line, because of his faith. His faith, children. For in the case of Robert Desnos, truly the joy of the Lord was his strength. I want you to when you get a chance, I want you to go to your calendars. I'm going to give you an invitation, and it's a good one. I want you to look ahead in this year of our Lord 2013. And I invite you to mark the evening, the Sunday evening prior to Thanksgiving. Because that's going to be, Lord willing, that will be the evening which the people of God will gather once again and have the opportunity to pour forth the chronicles of their lives, the testimonies of praise and thanksgiving. I want you to do that. Because this past year, and I asked Warren Reed if I could do this, Brother Warren has gone through open heart surgery, and you're part of a select few, a very elite club here of folks that have been through that. Because I'll tell you, Brother Reed, I know before the presence of God Almighty, I know that I don't know what you have been through. Only you and a few select brothers and sisters of this church know that. But Brother Reed that night gave a testimony that I shall never forget. That when he was wrestling with the aftermath, post-operative, the battle, post-operative, there at the it was a Riverside Hospital, wasn't it? At Riverside Hospital, that he was especially struggling on one evening, and his beloved Marilyn, beloved wife, was with him, and he says, "Marilyn, could you read to me?" And she began to lift some readings for him that just they, and again, because he loves his beloved, and she loves him, but it just wasn't satisfying. And so Marilyn said, "Wait a second, Warren." And there in the hospital room, she goes to the stand, and she opens the drawer. What do you think she found in that drawer of the hospital? What was it, Betty? Is a Gideon Bible. Isn't it just like God, that the work for which Warren has sacrificed, again with determination and with faith, that now it comes back to bless him. And sure enough, well, I remember the words. I don't know them by heart. Warren knows them by heart. But see if you remember this from the first of the Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the... And this is the New King James Version, brother. The New King James Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And here you go. If you're struggling right now, if you're struggling, if you're in a tough time in your journey, this is what Warren lifted up by heart. For the righteous man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Praise the Lord. In summary, in the storms of life that Martin Luther encountered, and he had more than his share, one time he received some discouraging report, and of course we all go through those chapters of our lives. But he responded by saying, "Recently I have been looking up at the night sky, spangled and studded with stars, and I found no pillars there, and yet they have not fallen." He encouraged himself by reminding himself that the same unseen God who was upholding the universe was caring for him. And indeed, it was Martin Luther who said that of all the scripture, all the words, the Pentateuch that Nehemiah and Ezra lifted up, if all the words from the beginning to the end could be condensed to but one verse, do you remember what Luther said it was? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The love of the Lord will never let you go. Therefore, do not mourn, but be joyful. This day is holy unto the Lord, and may the joy of the Lord be our strength. At this time, the ushers will help us serve this Lord through the morning offering. Let's pray together. Spirit of generosity and love flow through these gifts and offerings. Work in the ministries of our church that Christ's love may be seen clearly and felt completely in all that we say, in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. They wept for joy at the reading of the word of the Lord. The closing hymn, 600, Wonderful Words of Life. May that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.